Oh, you know it's off the chain.
Bam, bam, bam. We are back off the chain. Segment two, or episode two, because these have been some outstanding episodes. And we're going over a little bit. But these are outstanding, right, Chris? And our guests are, like, phenomenal.
Absolutely.
This week.
They are. They're dynamic. They're women.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just awesome. They're beautiful. And they got a lot to bring to the table.
And so we're continuing with our celebration for women and mm-hmm. Women's International Month and History Month and so forth. But I have two of the best. So I have, like, again, I do this show because I wanted to bring on people that are not only great, great at what they do, but great friends of mine. And these are two of the best people I've ever met in my life. And the two of the funniest just happen to be women, but the two of the funniest people I ever met in my life as well. So I'll let them introduce themselves. So first mm-hmm. and foremost, Rhoda, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell them who you are, where you're from.
Hey, what's up, everyone? My name's Rhoda Ramon. I'm from Lodi, California.
All right.
And go ahead, Gloria.
Oh, okay. My name is Gloria Magana, and I'm from Modesto, California.
I love her last name,
Magana. I love it, Magana.
I love her last
it's
name.
It's so sexy. It's so sexy.
And every practice, you roll my in. You never had to roll my in. You understand? So, ladies, it is Women's National History Month, and we're talking about women and what you do and so forth, and you're both comedians. So tell us a little bit about how you started and your journey and in comedy right now and kind of where you are right now. So, Gloria, we'll start with you.
I actually started, yesterday was my 9-year anniversary in comedy.
Give it up. Yeah. Off the chain. Awesome. Welcome.
Congrats.
Yeah, I got to celebrate that yesterday. I started in San Francisco and I kind of always wanted to be a comedian, but my mom never allowed it. Both my parents migrated here from Mexico. So they were like, you're going to school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did that or whatever, but as soon as I hit 30, which is when I started getting, when I got divorced, I was like, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I researched comedy classes and, it was like San Francisco Comedy College in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I did that and I started 9 years ago. So
that's what's up.
Wow. Nice.
Love it. Love it. Love awesome. It. Rhoda.
Mine's actually kind of scarily similar. don't count this last year, but this is going on what would have been my 6th year, but with the pandemic I had to kind of bow out a little bit. But mm-hmm. I was 29 as well, and I had just had a baby and was like, I had always wanted to do stand-up. I come from a very religious family too, and just, you know, it was like it was something that I always wanted to do. And so when I had my son, I was like, how can I raise this kid to be fearless and do everything that he wants to do if I'm too afraid mm-hmm. to do that too? Mm-hmm. So I went to a class in SAC at the Comedy Spot because I was like way too shy to really get out there and do anything. So I had to go to kind of like a safe environment, and I just fell in love with it, and I've been doing it ever since.
Nice.
Oh, well, that's so awesome.
The world is glad you did. Yeah, isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. So tell me, in thinking about your journey as female comics, comedians, how do you feel it's different? How do you feel it's different, and that you feel you have to, do you feel like you have to be different? Maybe material-wise, maybe how you approach the craft and so forth to get shows. How do you feel it's different for you, your journey? Start with Rhoda.
Well, I always have to play that game with myself, or sometimes I feel like, am I not getting the laughs tonight because I didn't earn them, or because I, you know, or am I walking into the room and not getting the respect because I'm a woman, or because I haven't mm-hmm. earned it yet? So I definitely have to have that conversation with myself a lot. I do feel like we get a little bit pressure, just like a lot of women in mostly male dominated fields, that we have to be 10 times better than some of the best male comedians that come out there, and that we have to be 10 times tougher. Mm-hmm. Kind of walk into a room with a lot of ego and to not be intimidated by that. And I think that sometimes that's a challenge, but yeah. I also feel like once you earn that, then the space gets a little bit wider. But you definitely have to check that, you know, if you walk into everyone like, it's because I'm a girl, it's because I'm a girl, then that's a really quick way to lose that respect really quick too. So it's a balancing act for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Glory?
I'm with Rhoda. I definitely agree with that. I'm seeing, and for me, I think even just as I feel like we have to be, at least myself, have to be a little different when it comes to, I don't want to say you can't be pretty or anything like that, but my experience when like when I go on stage, I get more laughs when my hair is in a bun or a ponytail, opposed to looking all like Beyoncé-fied or whatever.
Yeah.
Like okay. If people are on a date, the girls will be like threatened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I find that.
Wow.
So I've done it where I'm like, let me do a social experiment. Like, so if I like, I've done this at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. So I'll have my hair down or whatever curled. And then typically I'll host there. So I go I go on stage and then girls will just be looking at me like, and then I go back and I bring, you know, go to the green room or whatever. And I come back and I have my hair up and like in a ponytail, whatever it is. And then they're like, oh, okay. She's safe.
That is so
it's mind-boggling to me. Like,
I've experienced that a lot. So, but I'm with Rhoda too. Like, I feel sometimes it's kind of like they don't want to laugh because I'm a woman. But then you got to change your mindset, like she was saying, where it's like you can't go in there with the victim mentality. Otherwise, it's gonna like mess with your confidence in your set.
You know what's funny is that you saying that is the truth, because a couple of things have happened. So as I think about the women who I love in comedy, Moms Mabley, Whoopi Goldberg, Ellen DeGeneres, and so forth. There's Carol Burnett. They weren't the most pretty and glamorous people, first of all, and that's why I think they weren't threatening the people. And then I've been in comedy clubs and situations where there's been some pretty comics that go up, and even the male comics be like, "This bitch, here she go." And I'm like, wow. But then the comics who were not known as, of course, pretty, but and kind of more raunchy or more like acting more manly, they loved. And people gave standing ovations to and so forth. So it's funny, as you're saying, I've seen that play out. So wow, that's crazy. Do either of you feel like you have to be different material-wise, or you have to do anything, or things you can't do or things you can do? What do you feel about material? Glory.
I've typically been a clean comic for the majority of my career. I just literally started cursing on stage within the past like 3 months. And I've seen people get uncomfortable, and then I've gotten comments after show, like, you know, after the show, like people will say, good job, good set, or whatever. I've had older people tell me like, you should watch your mouth. A pretty girl shouldn't be talking like that. And I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm doing a clean comic and I'm not doing dropping F-bombs, but it'll just be like, this bitch, or shah, you know, type of thing. And it's not that I don't curse off. I don't curse on stage for the most part. I curse as like a regular person. I choose not to curse on stage, but I just started. And I do see a difference in that way.
That's great. What about content? What about material as far as like, because I know me as a comedian, when I went to LA, the comedians that I saw, female comedians that I saw that would get shots at bigger roles and started going on TV, did material that weren't, I would see 30 comedians go up, female comedians go up and talking about dick, pussy, and sex. And then these three that would go up and talk about something totally different would get the shots. However, I'm also not opposed. I'm not going to take a woman's right away from talking about sex and dick, but definitely want to talk about it. She wants to talk about. But do you feel like those things or certain content is off limits to you, or that you have to talk about things in a certain way?
For me, I know I'm not super comfortable talking about sex on stage yet. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm starting to get there slowly but surely. So I'm just made my ninth year, like I was telling you guys, and I feel like I'm just finding my voice.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm comfortable cursing more on stage or whatever. But I haven't hit that, like talking about sex and stuff like that on stage yet.
Okay.
I think about my mom.
Yeah.
My mom, my mom's like, she passed away, so I'm like, damn, she can hear me. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm scared of her.
It's your ninth year. If it makes you feel any better, when I first got in this business, Sinbad told me you're not a newbie in this business until 10 years anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Get out of here. And it's the truth. Rhoda, go ahead. Same question for you. What material wise content, what do you feel?
You know, I do. Sometimes I do think that there, when you first start as a female comedian, I think there's a little bit of pressure to feel like I'm just one of the guys, and I'm just as dirty as the guys, and I can be just as dirty as anyone. And I think sometimes it's hard to get out of that loop. Which is why, you know, for Glory coming out and being a clean comic and stuff, I think that probably made you a stronger comic, just knowing that you had to, you know, set guides for yourself. So I think that that's really good too. But honestly, I feel like anytime I have my joke that kills in any room or a set that's most successful is honestly when I'm just being myself and everybody knows that I'm just being myself and being authentic and they believe that. And then when I'm doing that, they're more willing to come with me. And, you know, I could easily change a persona and go on stage and just tell dick and pussy jokes. They're like, look at that nerd talking so dirty. But about like the things that I talk about on stage, where they know that I'm telling them who I really am, yeah, that it's not, you know, a front. And I think that in that sense, they're a lot more willing to come with me when I have the confidence to like pull that off.
Yeah. That's why I respect and love both of you, because you both have your own styles and it's been original material, everything I've seen. And that's what I respect, is originality and your own point of view, because you can spend 11 years doing what everybody else wants you to do, which I've seen people do and have success. And then they were like miserable because they never were their own point of view. So so what are your interests outside of comedy? What should people know and just interesting? What are Off the Change listeners should know about you both outside of comedy? What are your interests, hidden talents? Everything.
Pressing tires and CrossFit.
We're starting Rhoda. Yeah. UFC fighter on the side.
I see Glory on her Instagram getting ripped, getting buffed.
Yeah, right. I know Glory wrestles.
I know.
Go ahead, Rhoda, what are your interests?
You know, outside, like, I'm a mom. You know, I have a real grown-up job. I'm actually a pretty introverted, you know, homebody. So I love movies. I'm a movie buff. I'm a bookworm. All the things that you would expect looking at me on this.
last two books you read.
Stereotype. Yeah.
I read Hunger by Roxane Gay.
Okay.
And the last book I finished was Play It As It Lays by Joan Didion, which are both really sad books. So I'm looking for a funny book if somebody.
Yeah, knows. Damn. I was about to say, you might make me slip my wrist. What about Sha? It's like listening to Sade on repeat.
I need funny recommendations.
What's your last three movies you watched? Good movies.
Oh my God. You're going to laugh so hard at me. I watched Sister Act last night.
Okay. Okay. So that's a classic.
Yeah, it is.
I love Whoopi. You mentioned Whoopi Goldberg a minute ago, and she's so talented and just like. Mm-hmm.
Have either of you ever seen Whoopi do stand up?
Yeah.
I have.
So Whoopi stand up. It was called, nobody realizes how talented she was. Her character Fontaine. Oh my, the character she had. Whoopi was cold. Okay, go ahead with your movies, Rhoda.
I love comic book movies, so I was watching Captain America because the Winter Soldier Falcon's coming out
Disney Plus. That's right. Plug for Disney Plus. We still want you as a sponsor. Thank you, Disney. Go ahead, Rhoda.
I love WandaVision. If you guys know, if you guys like
comic. Oh, I love. Oh, yes.
Yeah. During the pandemic, I actually went back and watched the Marvel chronological movies. So
we had a couple people do that.
Yeah.
They do that.
Months, but it was fun. But yeah.
Okay. Glory, what's up? Who are you outside of comedy?
I'm a tia, so which means auntie.
Yeah.
So I don't have any kids of my own, but I've always kind of been a caregiver by nature. So my sister has 9 kids, and so she has them for the both of us, right?
Yeah, she sure did.
Yeah.
So she has them for like 3 families.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I help her, but I also take care of an elderly rich man.
Oh, like sugar daddy?
I wish.
So is your interest money or taking care of the sick? Right. Which one?
I will. Oh. No, I'm just a caregiver type thing.
Okay.
And I like to travel, so I'm going to start traveling again. I know it's bad probably, but I do the whole like mask thing and all that, but I'm gonna start traveling here soon again. I've had the travel bug ever since I was a kid, and
nice.
Started getting back into like my fitness journey. I fell off the face of the earth for like 2 years in the sense of when it comes to my health. I was in a relationship and I kind of took my time, and right. So now it's Okay. I'm back. And like Rhoda said, I'm trying to get ripped. So we'll see how that goes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So we're going to play a game called This or That. So I'm going to give you two things. You just choose quick off the top of your head, not think too much. All right. You ready, ladies?
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
All right. Text or talk?
Text. Well, it depends on the person.
Did Rhoda say an answer?
Text.
You said text? You said text. Okay. Yeah.
Glory, go first. I'll go after Glory every time.
All right. Peanut butter and jelly or tuna fish?
Peanut butter jelly.
Tuna. Sorry, I'm thinking tuna.
That's all right. R&B or pop?
R&B.
R&B.
Would you rather go to a club or have date night?
I'm single, so probably the club.
I guess date night. I'm not good at the club.
Okay. Michael Jackson or Prince?
Prince.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Novelas. I don't watch that. I'm sorry. I watch like Spanish soap operas. I honestly don't know.
Sabado. Yeah. Okay. I got you.
No, he got there.
Yes, he got there. Donuts or cake?
Cake.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Donuts or cake?
Oh.
You know what? Really quick, Steph, you need to ask questions like, because I'm pretty Mexican, so I wouldn't choose either of those.
It's okay. You can tell me what you choose.
Pan dulce. Mexican bread.
Okay. Well, give me some. Well, give me some. Rhoda?
Donuts.
Okay. Hennessy or whiskey?
Hennessy.
I don't drink neither. I would say Hennessy.
Vodka or tequila?
Tequila.
Tequila.
Pepsi or Coke?
Coke.
Fish or chicken?
Fish.
Heels or sneakers?
Sneakers.
Probably sneakers.
Okay. Walmart or Target?
Target.
If I'm on a budget, Walmart. Walmart, probably.
Or you're not dressed appropriately. Walmart.
I know. Depends on the way.
All right, Twitter or TikTok?
TikTok.
Rhoda?
TikTok.
IG or Facebook?
IG.
IG.
Apple or Microsoft?
Apple.
McDonald's or Burger King?
Burger King.
Mickey D's.
City or country?
City.
Probably city.
Sushi or Chinese?
Sushi.
Brandy or Monica?
Brandy.
I'd say Brandy.
Okay. Usher or Chris Brown?
Usher.
Last one, Biggie or Pac?
Pac.
Hard.
Rhoda?
Probably Tupac because he's in California.
Okay, all right. He's West Coast. All right, good job, lady. Good job. All right.
That was a fun one.
Our lovely host has a last question for you of the day.
All right, ladies, if you can invite three people to dinner, whether they are dead or alive, who would they be and what would you be serving up? You ain't got to cook it. Whatever the meal is, it could three be something you really alive. Like or something they really like. But if it's something really good, we're crashing your dinner.
And while you are thinking, again, hit us up at IG, Off the Change, OFFDACHANGE, Twitter, Off the Change Pod 1, and then Facebook, Off the Change. I am Steph Sanders everywhere, and Foodie Nong, MK Nong everywhere. Lumpia Queen, you can find us any and every place. And remember to email us offthechange@gmail.com with thoughts, suggestions, and also answers to this question. Three people you would have dinner with, dead or alive, and what would you be serving? All right, who's ready?
I'm gonna go, Rhoda.
Okay. All right, so there's this restaurant that closed down called Cool Street Bistro in Lodi. And every year for my birthday, I would get bacon-wrapped meatloaf with mac and cheese and green beans.
Wow. Okay. So,
they closed down a couple years ago, so I've been dreaming about it ever since. I haven't had the same way.
And who would you be inviting to this?
I would love to have another meal with my grandfather. I was watched.
Yeah.
He's my dude. He passed away in 2016.
Sorry about to hear that. Yes.
I would love to invite Cary Grant.
Ooh.
He's an actor from the 40s and 50s.
in case you didn't know, off the change.
I think it's the epitome of just like class and yeah. And then I would invite Beyonce because I just love her.
Oh, okay. Oh, Glory.
So I would invite both of my parents. Both my parents have passed. So I would invite both my parents and Lucille Ball.
Oh, yes.
And I would make my mom, even though she's coming down for a visit from heaven, I would make her cook.
I love it.
My mom's like green cheese tamales are really, really good.
Mm. So, yum.
We coming to that. I want the big meatloaf too. Right. And green tamales. We coming to that. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. We certainly appreciate you. Go ahead and give our Off the Chain family your handles. Tell them where they can find you. Rhoda?
Hey, I'm Rhoda. You can find me anywhere on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, just at Rhoda Ramon.
And are you any upcoming shows?
I have something coming up in April, but I forgot. I'm so sorry. I'll
sorry. That's all right. We're all getting back. Excuse me. Go ahead, Glory.
So you can find me anywhere at Glory Magana, or Magana. It's not the tilde on top. And this Wednesday, I have a Zoom. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Chocolate Sundays.
Usually. Yes.
Yes.
So I'm going to do that on Wednesday. And then Sunday, I typically have a monthly show at Contentment Brewing in Modesto.
Nice.
So
sweet.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Sweet. Thank you so much. Good thank job, you so much. Lady. That is another Off the Chain segment. Say bye to our people. Thank you. Thank you again. I am Steph Sanders, A Serious Production, Sharon Smith, MK Nong, Foodie Nong. Thank y'all so much. We see you next week. Off thank the Chain, guys. And we out.
Oh, you know it's off the change. Oh, you know it's off the change.
Bang, bang, bang. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this from. Off the Change podcast is back, ladies and gentlemen, and this is a very, very special episode. This is about the women. I'm already, woo! I can't speak today. Always and all the time surrounded by my beautiful co-hosts and dynamic co-hosts. But now I have 4, 5, 6 beautiful women around me who are all prestigious in their own, whatever they do. Today is their day, and we're going to have a great day today. First of all, I'd like to introduce, as always, my dynamic, my beautiful, my talented co-host, Miss Christy Nong, and Off the Change. Give it up to woo! Christy Nong. Christy, woo! Christy, how was your week? How you doing? What's up?
Oh, man, the week's been great. It's busy as usual, and, you know, the weekends is business as usual, yeah. And here I am with you fine people, so, you know, I'm excited. Good. I'm excited. Ready to make this happen. And I want to hear about all these beautiful women and their wonderful stories and, you know, and their success.
That's what I'm talking about. Before we get to that, I got to tell you my off the change moment, of the week. I got the vaccine. And let me tell you this here. People would always tell me, oh, Steph, you get the vaccine. It was nothing for me. I did it and it was nothing. I had the most miserable 48 hours of my life. You understand me? I almost didn't make it. I never should have made it. Almost Marvin Sapp was singing the whole weekend to me. You understand me? 104 degree temperature, tremors, and I'm a big baby when I'm sick. Huge baby when I'm sick. I don't get sick, but I'm a huge baby when I'm sick. So, you know, I had to call in reinforcements. People I hadn't spoken to in weeks, years, had to come take care of me. Because, you know, I'm single now, but I had to get somebody to come. Somebody had to come. I was calling 119 immediately. Come get me. But yeah, I'm good now. I'm back. I'm ready. Off the change. I may have lost 10 pounds and I can't afford to, but I'm ready. You understand me? It's going to be good. So I want to introduce our guests for this week. Introduce them. Tell us what we're in for.
All right. So let's go ahead and start with Dr. Newton. Ladies, what we want to do is introduce yourselves. Let us know who you are and what you do, a little quick snippet so our guests can figure out who you are and how awesome and amazing you are.
Okay, I'm Dr. Kaylee Newton. I am a counselor at a high school, originally from Oakland. I came up here in Sacramento in 2014 and I have 3 beautiful girls. How about me?
Wow.
Cool. Okay.
East Oakland or West Oakland, which side? Which?
Deep East Oakland. See, when you're from East Oakland, you say I'm from Oakland, but East Oakland, because you got to make that curve.
I see. Whoa, so we got a doctor from Oakland. I can't wait to hear about this today. Okay, go ahead. Next.
All right, next. Trang, you wanna introduce yourself next?
Yeah, so my name is Trang. I go by Trang-a-Lang, born and raised in Sacramento. Ooh. I'm a quality assurance manager at one of the leading food and beverage manufacturing facilities in the world. We produce Monster, Arizona, Body Armor, Coca-Cola, you name it, we make it. So I've been there for 9 years now. I'm a mother of three, 18, 10, and 7. And I'm here.
Trang-a-Lang! All right. Trang-a-Lang. We're going to talk about that gap in kids, too. There's something going on there. All right, go ahead. Next.
All right. Ms. Royal, would you like to go next?
Yes. Hello. I am Shaiwanda Royal. I am a high school teacher. I am also the lead teacher of a high school here in Sacramento. I also opened a business last year called Royally Sweet Keto because... why not? And I am originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, traveled around the world, well, around the country and settled in Sacramento for the last 7 years.
Wow. This is going to be awesome. All right. Shawanda. Shawanda. You remember that name? Remember that game? Yeah. My name is Shai. Yeah.
All right. Alana.
Woof, woof.
Ooh, tell us about yourself.
Hello. My name is Lana McWilliams. I am an essential worker. I work in social services as a case manager. I help homeless veterans find housing and link them to community resources. I am a mother of two, and I have known Doc Newton.
Woo!
Woo! Since she was 12.
You said
12? She was my first friend.
Wow.
In junior high.
Oh, this is
she is so my sister. Ooh. I love me some her. She is my, like, 12. We are 25 years.
Wow.
In the game. Right. Right. Wow. We got some bones and some stories.
Hey, Alana, are you speaking to us from the U.S. or are you in Iraq? Uh-oh. Are you in? Are you in the U.S. or are you in Iraq? If you're in Iraq, just let me know if you're in a bomb shelter. We can talk around.
I am in Sacramento.
Okay.
I grew up. I'm inside. It's just, I don't know. The internet not working, Tay. I can try from my phone.
That's okay. No, you're good. Hold on. Okay. You got that blockbuster video. Blockbuster video Wi-Fi. Remember that? You had to get the app.
That's right.
I got it. It's okay. It's all right.
Hold on. I'm trying to find it. Oh, there you go.
All right.
Let's see. Does it work?
Well, welcome, ladies. Welcome all of y'all to Off the Change. Really appreciate y'all being here. Christy, I'll let you take the first question. Go ahead, lead from here.
All right. So Dr. Newton, tell us a little bit about your journey in getting your doctorate. Because I know that success doesn't happen overnight. So tell us about your struggles, how you got there, and why you decided the counseling field.
So that's a loaded question. Not fair for the first question. Like, what's your favorite color? How long? That's a whole lot.
Oh, you want me to ask dating questions?
No. We'll stick to professional. So I have always known I wanted to speak up for those who didn't have a voice. So when I was in elementary school, we had some terrible thing that happened to one of our classmates. And I remember a child psychologist coming in one by one and bringing us into the office and talking to us and letting us know it was a safe space. And very early on, I was probably in maybe like the fourth grade. And I came home and I told my mom, like, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to make sure that kids who can't talk feel safe and have a voice. So as I like navigated through middle school and high school, I started researching more and more about what this thing called child psychology was. And I realized once I got to college that, okay, if I want to be a child psychologist, that means, or a psychiatrist, that I have to go to medical school. And that's like an extra 4 years, which that I didn't have, right? I was first generation in my family to get a bachelor's, to get a master's, and to have a doctorate. And so like, I just knew like time was of the essence. So I didn't need or have that extra 4 years to do this other thing. Not to say that I wouldn't be great at it, because I think I would have been. And so I started navigating after my senior year of college. Okay, what are some other things that I can do that's kind of still in the same field with my passion of helping kids, but not necessarily making it to where I have to do 4 years of medical school and more money. And so I was talking to a friend one day, and she was like, oh, my old school had this great counselor. And she started talking about all these great experiences. And I remember as a kid in high school, I didn't have the best counselor. I didn't know of all of the scholarships and things that was available for me.
I just
didn't know. And so I kind of felt like, especially being first generation, like my mom always told me, like, education is the way to go, especially growing up in East Oakland. Like, you can be more than what you see. And although she couldn't give me the route to college, she knew that it was important. So I just felt like that was an integral part of my life, that if I had an adult who cared to show me the ropes and tell me all the things that are available, I probably could have done this a lot quicker. So that's kind of led me to, okay, well, maybe I want to be a counselor. So I went into graduate school and I absolutely fell in love with it. I fell in love with my classes. It was very different than college. The first few years I was kind of bored and I was like, oh, do I really have to do this? But I'm gonna do it because I'm a nerd at heart. But once I got to work, like, it was fun for me. And so when I got out, I knew that I could get a job anywhere at a school. I knew that I had job security as a counselor, always be schooled. So I came back home and I applied, got a middle school position. So I was a middle school counselor for about 6 years. They moved up to Sacramento after getting divorced, and then started working in a charter school. And that's when I started working basically like K through five. And in working with my principal and talking to them about all of the things that they did, I was kind of like, I could do your job. And like I said, I'm still a nerd at heart. So I'm like, okay, well, what else can I do? Like, now that I've got my master's, like, is there something else? And then I'm like, oh, I can get my doctorate in educational leadership. Oh, that sounds awesome. Started the program not knowing what it would take to actually get through.
Right.
And, you know, being the type of student that I was, everything came very easy to me and natural. So when I got to my doctorate program and I had to like combat some really like hard truths about myself and whether, you know, because at this point I was a mother, I was a wife when I started the program. And, you know, how do you balance career and being a wife and being a mom, trying to pursue this degree? If it was not for like my support system, like Alana knows, like there was plenty of nights where I was like, you know what, I'm done, I'm quitting, life is over, like I don't even need that degree, like I already got it. Technically I don't need it. And be like, and the other ladies in my circle like, no, you gonna be doctor, so whatever it is, you can cry for like 2 minutes and then
get over it,
go out the door, because you just got to do it. So all right. Through it all, through a lot, you know, I and the grace of God, because Lord knows, man. You know, through it all, I was able to get it done.
Got it. All right. That's awesome, man. So Trang-a-Lang, tell us what it takes to be a quality assurance for one of the biggest companies in the world. I mean, that sounds like a lot of pressure, especially for a woman in business. So yeah, tell us a little bit about your story.
I can lead up to the story. I mean, yes, I do. I am a quality assurance manager in a manufacturing facility. And so I work with a lot of men. You don't see a lot of women in this business. So at 4'11", I have to be strong, right? You know, all these men, they're tall, they're big, they're older than me, whatever. They look at me like, okay, who's this little girl coming in here? You have to have confidence. You have to be able to, you know, kind of work with them, because I have to be tough, right? Like, I have to be stern. I'm the quality person. And so you have production people that, hey, we want numbers, we want to make cases. Nope, if it ain't quality, it ain't going out. And so you have to be stern. And so I've learned to work with them. I'm not someone that's very easily offended. I you know, the way I talk at work is the way men talk to men kind of thing. You know, I don't care. You know, you're in a room full of men, you know what men talk about. I don't care, whatever. That doesn't bother me, right? Mm-hmm. That's just kind of how I was built. My parents, they were a part of the Vietnamese immigration here during the early 80s. And that second wave of immigrants and were refugees that were not educated and didn't have any money. So they came over here wanting more, right? Wanting the American dream for their kids. So I was always taught that education is the number one thing, right? Mm-hmm. Everything was linear. You go to school, you graduate, then you meet someone, right? Then you get married, fall in love, get married, then you have kids, you buy a home. That's the way it was supposed to be. I didn't do it that way.
Life happens. Yeah, life happens.
That, but I didn't do it that way. Okay.
Trang-a-lang had to go left.
Yeah, I went left. And they didn't like that. So I was a single mom. I became a mother at 19 years old. That's why I have my 18-year-old, right? And I was in college. And I had to leave. So I was at UC Davis and I left UC Davis to go home because I'm a single mom now. I can't go to school and take care of this child. And I knew that higher education was very important. I wanted to graduate college and get my bachelor's at the least. And of course I had to work. I had to take care of my son. And so it took me 8 years to do it. And it was actually really discouraging when I was going through that because I felt like, oh my gosh, this road is never ever gonna end. You know, like, why is it taking so long? People, you know, finish their bachelor's in 4 years, but I had my eye on the prize. You know, I knew I had to get that. And even though it took 8 years, I did it. And I finally got my bachelor's degree, right? Because you can't put a big puzzle together without the small pieces.
Right.
And I always want to show my kids that higher education is, you know, the goal too. And so of course I graduated and I got my job of where I'm working now. And I've been there for 9 years and just kind of working through the, you know, and learning as I go. Every day is a struggle. I mean, like I said, there's a lot going on there. You have to kind of work with different personalities. And again, you know, men try to, sometimes they do try to intimidate you. And I'm like, nope, not going to intimidate me. You should see me at work. These guys are like 6'2". I'm 4'11". I come out, what's going on here? Like, no, stop shutting it down. And they're like, oh, Trang-a-lang's to shut it down. You know, like, you have to be confident. You have to kind of be able to go with the flow sometimes, I guess.
Right.
And then of course, along the way, I had two more kids. I am married now. And one of the other struggles that I feel like I dealt with, right, as an Asian American, I am the minority citizen. So everything that I'm doing is always supposed to be right. And I didn't always make the right decisions. I actually have mixed kids. So then that put another piece into the equation, right? So I have to kind of deal with my struggles as an Asian American. And then my children, I have three, two of them are actually mixed. They're mixed with African American. And so they go through struggles that I don't know either, right? So I have two sons and a daughter. And so it's hard, you know, trying to live in society, trying to be this minority citizen, trying to be a woman, a mom, a mother, a wife, a manager. It's hard. But I guess my creed in life is I just want to be happy. I want to do what's right. And as long as I don't feel wrong in my heart, I just kind of live through life being happy. That's what I want to teach my kids. I just decided that I wanted to get my master's. So I'm actually starting my master's program at the end of the month.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm nervous because I'm still a full-time mother.
Yeah.
So you know, just hearing Dr. Newton's story of, you know, moving on, it's like very inspirational because I'm scared. I'm a little nervous, but I know that I can do it. I know I want to do it, and I want to show my kids that no matter how the struggles you go through, you know, you can get there. You gotta just make your goals because nothing happens overnight. You have to pace yourself, right? You're going to make mistakes, and that's how you learn, and that's how you grow, and that's how you appreciate life, right? You can't enjoy the peaks. You don't have the valleys, right? And sometimes when you're in the valleys, you can stop and kind of smell the flowers because that's where they are, right? So that's kind of my story.
Okay. I mean, that's wonderful. And you know what? Thanks for sharing your struggles too, because so many women have them, but they don't want to talk about it because we're always taught to be strong because you're that face in the front. And, you know, we're always looking at that end goal and then we're also taking care of family and stuff. So thanks for sharing that, ladies, because that's something for a lot of people to remember. And it is very inspirational.
Yeah.
All right. Shaiwanda from Louisiana. Let's hear your story, girl.
So my story, of course, starts in New Orleans, Louisiana. And to hear my brother tell it, I was the sheltered child, because I basically stayed in my room with a book, wasn't really interested in anybody or anything. But in truth, I am an extremely passionate person. When I get excited about something, I go for it. So that's how I ended up being a teacher. I just kind of naturally fell into education. And then while I was in college, one of my counselors basically walked me through it. She's like, you should be a teacher because that's what you're already doing. So I switched my major, went to English because I'm a nerd. I accept that title.
my brother nerds. Actually.
My brother,
we love black nerds on here. Black blurreds, we love blurreds. It's okay. I'm a blurred. It's okay. Trangalang too. You black. You blurred. You messing up black men. You blurred. You're a blurred too. Tiger Woods, your kids. You good. You
got. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got to go to. You coming to the barbecue? You already at the barbecue. Come on, Shawn.
So I went to Dillard University in HBCU.
Hey, HBCU.
Yes. Woke me all the way up. I went from shelter to HBCU and I was like, oh, okay. We won't speak about all of those times. And then I actually dropped out of college for a semester to pursue some other things, and then decided to go back and finish my bachelor's in English. And then I really just wanted to figure out what my next steps were. So for my master's, I actually moved from New Orleans and went to Juneau, Alaska. And yes, Alaska, I know. Yes,
most people in New Orleans don't even know where the hell Alaska is. They don't even know it's a state. They think that's still a country or a continent. What the hell? He was like, Alaska? Okay. Your mom was like, I ain't coming to see you. It's too cold up there. Well, go ahead.
She did. She came from my graduation.
That's it. I ain't coming with nothing else.
No. Real facts, though, none of my family other than my mom even believed me. I planned to go to Alaska for 2 years before I left. None of them believed me. And at the going away party, they was like, so where are you going again? I'm like,
right.
Alaska.
They, like, they thought they would never see you again. I'm sure people were like, well, we never see her again. That's.
Oh, I got all the jokes.
Because I've been to Alaska all and I'm like, jokes. I said, what for? Go ahead.
Right. And so Shawanda, also tell us about your new journey, you know, Royally Sweet Keto. So why did you decide to start that up during the pandemic?
So I and everyone around me thought I was crazy for starting this business in 2020. But really, I started down this journey myself early in 2020 because I, in the 7 years that I've lived here, so the first 6 years, I actually lost 100 pounds living in Sacramento. And then to kind of continue that journey, because like I gained some of it back, then I'm like, okay, I can do this. So a friend of mine introduced me to keto. And although it was great because it basically worked with my lifestyle, I said, if there are no desserts, this won't work for me. Because I'm a sweets person. I mean, I'm from the South. Come on.
Yeah.
Sweet tea is our only drink.
Exactly.
So
right. Like sweet
that's,
tea.
That's water.
Like sweet tea. And all of the desserts I tried were not good. So basically I had to learn how to bake myself. And I started basically testing this on my friends, and it became testing on my keto friends and my non-keto friends. Cause I'm like, if I'm going to make this, it has to taste good.
Right.
And then some of my just kept for most of the year of 2020, like, you should sell these. I'm like, okay, so I started selling them, and the cool thing is it's actually like starting to gain ground and gain purchase here in Sacramento. So now I'm figuring out how to ship foods across the country.
So what's the name of the business again?
Royally Sweet Keto.
Royally Sweet Keto. Right. I mean, definitely gonna put it on the podcast. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Just website.
That's right. And just know, ladies, at the end of the podcast, you'll be able to share all of your handles. So if you want to be found, let people know. Yeah. Now let's move on to Alana. Ooh, my girl, Alana, let's hear your story. Cause I want to hear about what you're doing with the homeless.
Uh-oh, she got the bomb shelter. I can hear her.
No, so I got into social services as a kid because my dad and my stepmom were emergency foster parents. Mm-hmm. So all of my younger siblings are actually adopted. Nice. And I got to see the work that the social worker did. And I said, I wanted to be that change. So after graduating from high school, I actually played around in grade 13 for 5 years before I moved away. Like I am probably one of the only people you will ever meet that got kicked out of junior college. I got suspended from junior college for poor grades.
Wow.
And, right. Yeah. And that
you hear
semester.
That every day from JUCO, from junior college, from senior high school. That's really what it is. You get kicked out of that.
I got suspended. I got suspended from grade 13. And having to sit out for a semester, I worked two jobs. I worked at Macy's and I worked at Bank of America. And after working both jobs for one semester, I said, this is for the birds. Let me get my act together. And I moved back home. I had moved out on my own. I had moved back home. And I was like, oh, my mom was like, okay, so it's a timeline. You can't just live here. You need to be doing something with your life.
Right.
So you either gonna go to school or you gonna go get you a real job.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And she said, you need to be in somebody's school by the fall. And I was like, she funny. She wasn't playing. So a month before, and Kaylee, no, my mama, she wasn't playing with me. A month before school started, she brought me the newspaper and said, since you don't have no acceptance letter, I'm assuming you're about to get a job. So you need to circle every job you can get. Now, this was back when jobs were still posted in the newspaper.
Right.
So she gave me the newspaper and a highlighter. And I said, oh, I'm going to go to college. So literally the day my application needed to be postmarked, I handed my mama a packet and said, as she's running out the door to a meeting, I said, can you mail this and put the application fee check in it for me too? Appreciate you. And, and she was like, what? And I applied to one school, Alabama A&M. It was my fourth time applying. And she thought I wasn't going to go to college. So she went off on this, her annual cruise, and she lived her best life on my college fund because she didn't think I was going to college. So she went to Miami, came back, went to Puerto Rico, spent some extra days there, bought some new fancy jewelry overseas. She was living her best life. To come back to, I got an acceptance letter.
Wow. She's like, oh, well, how my bank account is set up.
Now I gotta get this stuff back to Puerto Rico. How you return stuff back to Puerto Rico?
So she then went on this great cruise for 7 days and was living her best life, took some extra vacation time, and came home and was like, I'm exhausted, I'm going to bed. So when I came home that night from work, the acceptance letter was in the mail. So I was like, oh my God, this is like really happening. Like, this is the one school I've been trying to go to since 2001. And I'm finally getting the opportunity to go. And this is now in 05. And so in 2 weeks, my family pulled it together and got everything situated for school. And at first my mom wouldn't let me go because she was like pissed. Like, how's she gonna get it together when I start spending her college money?
Yeah.
And my grandparents were like, you told her she needed to do this. She did it. Now you got to hold up your end. So my family pulled together. I went off to college, and I too, coming from California, apparently lived a very sheltered life. So growing up in Oakland and Richmond, and here I go, I'm going to go to college in Alabama, not Birmingham, not Montgomery, not Mobile. I went to Huntsville.
Right.
Right. So I'm in Huntsville, like, oh my God, what is this? But my family was very clear. We cut checks for 4 years and 4 years only. You got till August of 09
to get
up out of here.
That's right.
And I graduated in May 09. I did 1 year of my master's at Howard for social work. Realized, I don't really like people like that. I don't like kids like that.
I don't really want to help y'all like that. I'm a peace out. It didn't work. Every other job I have tried to do, it has not worked out. Like,
yeah.
It is not. And Kaylee will tell you, I have tried to like run away, like completely run away. I didn't try to do corrections. I didn't try to do probation. I have tried to do public service. I have tried to do customer service, call centers, everything.
You had a calling and you trying to do something else.
Right.
Won't he do it?
I have realized that my calling is working in social services. So although I don't want to do the clinical side of social work, I do have a plan to work in public administration and criminal justice reform. So I'm still staying in the social service field. I've just been very resistant to accept my calling because although I thrive in it, I was like, I don't like people. I don't like these people. I don't want to deal with them. They entitled, they wrong, they rude, they just a hot mess. Go somewhere. I can't.
But it didn't matter because they need you.
But they come back. Like yep. My previous job, I worked with homeless youth and I came in to the job one day and I vented to Doc Newton and was like, look here. I don't know what to do. How you don't want to work. You don't want to do nothing, but you want me to pay your rent and I pay your rent. And all I'm asking you to give me is 30%. 30. That's it.
Not
cut
even
a check for 271 and go about your business. I don't have it. I'm short. I'm not going to pay it. Well, I don't really care. Well, you're supposed to pay my whole rent anyway. Look here. Look, I'm going to need you. Listen, okay, at some point this program gonna run out. You gonna need to pay your rent on your own. We gotta work on some things. And so it don't work. And then I realized that homeless veterans ain't no better. It's yeah. worse. Because yeah. now you old, because before you was a kid and homeless and struggling. Now right. you old.
And they old set in your ways, can
change. Yeah, that mindset don't change.
Mm-hmm. Got the nerve to be ornery and what you gonna accept, how you gonna get it.
All the way. And so that is what I do in social service. And my friends tell me, I don't know how you do it. They have been on the phone with me with some of these people that went off on me. Some of these people that have been picky about the stuff that I'm offering them. You homeless on the street, but you got the nerve to ask me, you got some Nikes in your clothing closet? Nikes? You better be happy with this Walmart gift card. Go get your shoes and get out my face.
And I'll just cover them socks up and get out my face. You understand me?
That is what I deal with. So as much as I'm trying to avoid my calling, that is my path. And that is how I ended up in social services.
Man, but fantastic.
They need you, girl. They sound like they really need you. You know what? So, ladies, we have a food question to ask y'all.
So, before you ask that, I just have to say, first of all, I'm inspired by these stories, but I love this episode because my friends laugh at me all the time because as I got older, when you're young, you really don't think about these things. But as you get older, I tell my friends and those of us that are still single, and I tell them all the time because we don't value enough what women bring to the table and who they are, right? And I say that really because if you look at anybody who's successful, anyone who is successful, they is either because of their mama or they have a great woman by their side, right? Any man is successful. And you guys have so many things you guys spoke about are passionate to me. First of all, I'm HBCU, Central State University, education, educator. You went to everything you guys are talking about. At Trangalang, I'm 4'11 too. And
he's not 4'11. He's a little bit, he's maybe a couple inches taller than us.
But I say that to say, you know, to value you guys. And I always say that the smartest person in the room with the wisest person is always a woman. Flat out. And you guys get it before us, you're more mature than us, whatever. Men will, if they admit it, men grow up through a woman. There's always one woman, one or two or three that a man grows up through and whatnot. I know I had in my life. So I just want to say thank you for sharing your stories. Being here for that, I have a question. On behalf of men, I have some questions I need to ask, right?
Woo!
So quickly, rapid fire round. One thing, if you could tell men right now that you wish you could tell men out there that don't get it like us, one thing men could do better, one thing men could do better. Shawan, we're going to start with you.
Communicate.
Okay, thank you. Trangalang?
Don't be scared to be vulnerable. Share your feelings, share your thoughts. It's okay. You can cry. We all cry. We know what's
come
up.
Come on. Come on.
Right? Yeah, it's okay. I like it.
Dr. Newton.
That was my thing. Be transparent. There's so many men that feel that they need to lie or tell you what you want to hear and present yourself in a way that makes them attractive, ugly, and it's not the truth. It's not going to get you anywhere. So just be transparent and let the woman decide if that's what she wants to deal with or not.
Right. Love it.
That's a good, wow. Those are some good ones.
Alana.
I'm not your problem solver. I'm not your fix it. I'm not your case manager. I got to deal with that all day. I am here to help you. I'm not your pin cushion. I'm your listening ear, but not your pin cushion. Don't take your aggressions out on me. I can help you. I can listen to you. We can work together through this, but yeah. I can't solve it for you.
I love it.
I love it. I love it. It's always a partnership, right? Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Okay. In a sentence or less, what do you feel about traditional gender roles? Start with Trangalang.
I'm not for it. See, so I am a working woman. I will never be a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. However, I go home and I cook dinner every night. I find
that's right.
I'm happy to do that. I feel blessed that I can do that for my family. I don't mind making my husband a plate after I make him dinner, right? That's okay. But again, I need to go to work and that's okay. I will say I don't touch the laundry. That's my husband's role.
Bam.
No laundry here.
Okay, Alana.
We partners. We work at this together. If you pick up where I pick up, like if I'm weak, you need to be strong. If you weak, I need to be strong, but we a partnership. Mm-hmm. This is not, I make all the money. No, I got dreams, goals, and ambitions too. So we gonna work this together. We not gonna work this at all.
Mm. Love it.
Tell it. Ooh,
thanks for dropping that knowledge, y'all, Dr. Newton.
Yeah, I would say the same. I would say it is flexible. It definitely has to be a partnership. There's times where, you know, historic gender roles come into play because I don't want to learn how to change the oil or change a tire. But there are also times where I feel like, yeah, I have dreams and aspirations and what I want matters. I think that's probably why my marriage failed is because we weren't a true partnership. So,
who's
flexible?
Knowledge.
Oops, did I say that out loud?
My bad. Ooh, that's all
right. You can say that on this show. As a matter of fact, what's his name? I'm giving
an asshole
of the day.
That's what we're not going
to
do.
Dr. News ex-husband gets off the change, asshole of the week. Now, Shawanda, go ahead.
I was too busy laughing. I don't know if I can do it in a sentence or less because I'm more on the traditional end of the spectrum with traditional gender roles, which is also weird because I basically have done most of the jobs that men do. That's just kind of how my path ended up. Even to the point that I like.
So you already a damn
naked and afraid type thing.
You've probably seen the Loch Ness Monster kill Bigfoot. What the hell are you?
Well, I mean, because one of my jobs coming up through college was I was actually doing floors. So I laid floors for a while. So I have all of these types of skills. I'm more on the traditional end, but definitely partnership. Definitely has to be a partnership.
Okay. I like it. Mm-hmm. I got two more. This one. Right. If teenage blank, whoever you are, could tell adult blank one thing, what would it be? And we'll start with Dr. Newton. I know it's a good question. That's why I do this. I know.
It is.
Right. Ooh, the teenage you can tell the adult you. Wow. Yeah.
Ooh.
One thing.
I think maybe to always be true to me and be confident in what I believe in whatever that is. Because there were some times where I made certain sacrifices that I shouldn't have made, certain sacrifices that turned out really great. But
so being confident in your choice making, because you might not have thought at the time.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, I love that. Trangalang.
Yeah, I think trying to please others before yourself, making decisions because whoever's in your life at that time wanted that decision, even though you knew it wasn't the best for you, right? Just trying to please yourself and not someone else. I think I made a lot of decisions to please others and appease others that wasn't necessarily the best decisions for myself or something that would provide me with happiness. I think that's what I would say to myself.
Jawanda?
So I'm actually the opposite. My teenage self could not give me any advice. I would have had to reverse it, and I would have to tell my teenage self to just be true to you, because I'm more free today than I was as a teenager. I'm more myself today than I was in a teenager. As a teenager, I was in a box. As an adult, I've decided to burn that box and just be me.
We so glad you did too. Mm-hmm. Glad you burned it, girl. Sha Wanda, got burned it. Alana.
Can't wait to hear this. Tell us, Alana.
Actually, on both sides, like my teenage self would probably say, always follow your dreams. Like, don't put them on hold. Don't get sidetracked. Stay focused.
Right.
My adult self would probably go back and tell my teenage self, stay focused and don't ignore the red flags. I spent a lot of time because of the feel or the passion that I have to always want to help people and see the good in people. Mm-hmm. I made a lot of sacrifices based off of always trying to see people's potential and meeting them at their potential rather than where they are. And so my grown self will go back and tell my younger self, stop trying to do that.
Yeah.
Meet yourself where you at.
Sometimes you got to let them go, right? You
got potential don't pay bills.
No, they don't.
Ooh, and they will give you ulcers, blood pressure, high blood pressure, make you sick, and you are more worried about them than they are themselves.
So potentially be real hungry, extra hungry.
Right. Okay, last question. First date turn off.
First date
what would be a first date turn off? Like, you'd be like, you sit at the dinner with this dude, he may look good, me fine, may smell good, and then first date turn off.
All right, Trangalang, let's hear you.
All right, well, see, I love to eat. Okay, we're on a date, I'm gonna order what I like to eat. I'm not that, I'm gonna get a salad. No, I want, like, you know, maybe some shrimp, some chicken, some crab. If he even says one thing about, oh, girl, you eating too much, or, oh, that's too much,
whatever. Y'all in your plate. Yeah.
But yeah, that ain't going to work. I'm still going to eat my meal, though.
I understand. But you won't see him again. There's no second date. I get it.
Don't tell me what to eat. Don't tell me how to eat it. Yeah, I'm not a dainty eater. Yeah. No. And then I'm going to, hey, can I have some of your chicken? Can I get a piece? And I'm like, that looks good. I want to share my meal. And if he says no, that's a real.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
Love it. Lana.
Please.
First date turn off. Ooh.
I know there's a lot, but it can be the worst one, the one that you can think of that you like. Just
right. The one that where you're gonna get up and leave.
Like.
Being unthoughtful. Ooh. If you are, like, unthoughtful, like, I know I got selfish ways. I know I can be selfish, too.
So, like, if you don't bring flowers?
Just like, huh?
So, like, if he doesn't bring flowers or something or what?
Not necessarily if he doesn't bring flowers, but just, like, his behavior the whole time. Truly believe, like, I was raised to be, like, you pick me up from the house, you open my car door, you open the restaurant door, you... We talk about what we gonna order. Like, you don't just order your food. Like, you gotta be, like, mindful of the fact that I'm, like, here.
Yeah. Don't be obnoxious and selfish.
Right. Yeah. I can't do it. I'll be like, I'm done. I'm good. I ain't gonna call him back.
That's right. Oh, selfish ass. Don't be selfish ass. Dr. Newton.
I think for me, if you talk about sex, now we could be having a great day and you could probably get the panties, but you will talk your way out of the panties about getting the panties. It'll just be done. It'll be done.
So wait.
So you don't.
You can't even allude to it.
No, like what's the point? No, if you gotta talk about, no, that's just.
But what if it's a drink called Sex on the Beach and you be like, you want Sex on the Beach? And
you better order something else. Long Island iced tea.
Exactly.
Hey, classic mule.
Fellas, don't even say nothing to start with S with Dr. Newton. Don't even say a word on the date to start with S. You understand me? Stay away from
it. Right, right. You heard her. She would have dropped him.
If it's say, you got to say sometimes, say sometime. Don't even say nothing else. Right. Just start with S. Shawanda.
Okay. Mine would be like, I'm from the South. We have manners. Oh, you are sitting at the table chewing with your mouth open and I hear you smacking.
Come on.
I am done.
Come on.
I am done.
Yeah.
Don't make them kind of sounds. I hear them in general, but don't let me hear.
I love
and
it.
Definitely don't let me see you eating.
I love it. I don't need to see. I don't need to see what you ordered in your mouth too. I get it. I understand. I don't need to see it double. Thank you on behalf of men for answering my question. International Women's Day, we love you. Christy, go ahead and give them the question.
All right, ladies. So this is going to be a fun question. Now it sounds like a lot of us like to eat. So here's a question. If you can invite three people to dinner, and it doesn't matter if this person is dead or alive, you got three people, you can invite whoever you want to dinner and think about what you plan to serve. Now, it doesn't have to be something you cook. It could be whatever your favorite food is, whatever their favorite meal is. Throw it on together.
Does it have to be a real person?
No, three. Oh, no. Yes, real, but three dead or alive people.
Mm-hmm.
Dead or alive people. So while you were thinking, I will give our listeners offthechange@gmail.com. Please email us topics you want to see, guests you would like to see. And to the answer to this question, we ask everybody to send in questions, send in the answer to this question for fun. offthechange@gmail.com, our Twitter, offthechange@pod1, IG, offthechange. And remember, it's all one word, offdachange. Yes, I spelled it right. Offthechange is everywhere, okay? So Facebook, offthechange, everything. So be sure to look out for us. I am Steph Sanders and Chrissy Nong, Foodie Nong everywhere, and a Lumpia Queen. All right.
Woo!
Ladies, who wants to go first? Who's ready?
I'll take it.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
So I would actually invite my two daughters and my brother. My brother passed away when I was 13, and my oldest is actually named after my brother.
Oh.
I would have the dinner with them, and I would let my kids pick the menu. You know, you let a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old pick the menu. Ain't no telling what you're going to get. My
kids, hot dogs, potato chips, fried pickles.
No, they like ice cream. Sushi. No, my kids is like sushi, steak.
That's what I'm talking about.
Fish. All we got crab legs.
I would eat with them.
Right.
But I would invite my brother and my daughters for them to have the opportunity to just enjoy the presence of their uncle.
All right.
Yeah, I wish they would have gotten that opportunity, but that would be my wish if I could have one.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Go ahead.
First, I would invite Jesus. Okay. I am a Christian, but sometimes my real question for him is, how did you love these people?
Come on, somebody.
Help. Like, how did you just not slap somebody as soon as they open their mouth? Like, I need some help. So that's my first person. My second person would be Maya Angelou.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
She has touched my life without even knowing me.
Yeah.
And then the other would be Langston Hughes.
Oh,
same thing.
Good one.
Yeah.
They can tell you an English major. Okay.
Right. And what's on the menu?
On the menu. So I always do themes whenever I do dinner parties. So I would probably do like a seafood theme. That way I could have so many different dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Trangalang. A Trangalang. Trangalang. A Trangalang.
The first person I would be inviting is my father. He passed away in 2015, liver cancer, but he was the, I want to say the biggest influence in my life. So growing up Vietnamese, it's a very patriarch kind of family, right? The man, the male runs the show. But my dad didn't teach me that way. He taught us to be strong women, even though in his mind, like a man's supposed to run the show. And that's why I'm so strong. So I appreciate him. You know, when I became a mother at 19, he was the one that was there for me. You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I grew up first generation over here. When I came home and said, I'm having a baby and he's black, it wasn't good. But my dad was like, no, that's mine. That's my son. We're going to do this. We're going to move forward. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And like our families, I mean, I'm not with him now, but we are so close. And so my dad kind of broke that barrier.
Yeah.
And now like grandmom, you know, grandmommy, all of those are my peoples, you know, those people are the foundation of my family, my life.
Yeah.
And so, and I love that. I love that my dad was able to give me that type of foundation. So I miss him a lot. And of course he would be the number one person.
That's good.
And then my oldest son, Jordan, he would be the second guest just because I had him when I was 19. And so he grew with me, right?
Yeah.
My other two children are younger, so they saw me at a different state and time in my life. I was more established.
Right.
The mom that they know is not the mom that my son knew. We grew up together. He's seen my struggles. And so I would definitely want him there. And just because of my third guest, Barack Obama, just because he's multicultural. And he became the first Black president. That's big. That's a big milestone. And my son is mixed. You know, he's half Vietnamese, half Black. I would never want him to think he can't do anything because he's Asian or he's Black or whatever. Good. I want him to see that it's you got to have confidence and you have to have goals, right? You have to have the goals or you can't achieve it. But I would want him there because I just think it would be great conversation just with those three at the dinner table.
And what you need?
What I would serve is definitely a good prime ribeye steak dinner, like the whole nine, potatoes, cream corn, cream spinach, all of that. And I say that because my father growing up, he loved steak, but we weren't financially there. Yeah. So when we had steak, we always had, I guess, the poor man's steak. It was always like the chuck. And I grew up thinking, oh no, chuck is good. That's the steak, that's the cut. You know, they're like, no, that's the like ribeye or like, you know, whatever. I'm like, no.
Right.
And after having that, and my father passed away before I was established to the point where I could provide him with those meals, you know? So that would be my dinner.
dinner. That's good.
And I tell you what, Trangalang can throw down.
I like that. Dr. Newton, what's up?
So my first person would be Michelle Obama.
Okay.
Women Crush Wednesday, women goals all day, every day. Just inspiring. My second guest would be Martin Luther King. To try to understand what was going on in his mind at that time and how he had the courage to do what he
did.
If he even knew that the actions that he was taking were going to lead to so many things, like what he did for me to be Dr. Newton today. So just to pay homage and say thank you. My last guest would be my grandmother. She's there for my bachelor's graduation, but she missed the other two. So just to be able to catch her up on that, to let her know, you know, my daughter is a doctor and got the highest degree, I think would just be awesome. And we just gonna do something simple, just some baked chicken, some macaroni and cheese, salad, you know, just something simple.
We crashing every dinner here. Ladies, this has been fantastic. This is one of the best, one of my favorite episodes by far. Thank you so much.
Oh, wait, hold on, Steph.
Yes.
Steph, we forgot to ask Alana.
We forgot Alana? We didn't forget Alana, did we? I'm sorry, Alana.
You forgot. Okay, let me rephrase that.
My bad.
You forgot.
My bad, Alana. I would never forget you on purpose. Go ahead.
Did you start it off, Alana?
She went for a year.
Oh, shoot.
I can count.
You know what?
I can't count. One thing I can do is count. I counted 1, 2, 3, 5, 4. I counted, damn it. I know I can count.
Sharon, edit that out.
Hey, ladies, go ahead and give where they can find you. Shawanda, you go first. I know you got to grow. So go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media handles.
Okay. So at Royally Sweet Keto. And it's basically Instagram and Facebook. So Royally Sweet Keto. Royally, R-O-Y-A-L-L-Y. Sweet Keto.
Right. Trang-a-lang.
Yeah, well, I think LinkedIn, just look up Trang Tran. You'll see me. QA manager, that's probably the best place.
Okay. Dr. Newton.
The most professional place.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to be found.
I knew that was going to be her answer. I just was going, I was waiting on that. I knew that was going to be her answer.
All right, Doc.
Because Wakanda and Zamunda, it does not want to be found. They can't find them on the map. We don't want to see. Alana, go ahead.
Alana.
I only got two. I got Facebook and IG. On Facebook is just my name, Alana McWilliams. On IG is happiness times two. So that's HAP underscore.
Oh Lord.
E underscore NIS the times symbol two. The number two.
That's all right. Anybody writing it down? They didn't stop writing it down. HAP underscore. As soon as you tell somebody underscore, they'll be like, wait a minute, what is the underscore? Wait a minute. Underscore, the underscore, underscore. Ooh. I know percentage. I know pound. Right. What is...
Well, ladies, you know what?
Give it out like that.
Right. Well, you know, ladies, we appreciate y'all because what we keep hearing that theme today, confidence, goals. Confidence to me is one of the sexiest things anyone can wear.
Yeah.
Especially a woman, because when a woman can carry herself well, can handle business and still be, you know, lady in the street, freak in the bed, whatever you want to call it. That's what's up. And I mean, I could appreciate that. I admire you women, and your stories are so inspirational. So, I mean, you make me feel like I need to get my stuff together.
Got your stuff together, baby.
You got it.
Please, MK, if I may speak, no, you don't need to get yourself together because you got it together. That's why you're on here. That's why I love you. And that's why you're an inspiration every week. Anyway,
thank you.
Was our Off the Chain segment one. Thank y'all so much for coming. We love you. We love you. We love you. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Thank you very much.
Oh, you know it's Off the Chain.